Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace. Today, we turn our attention one last time to the book of Psalms 139, the entire psalm. Our message is called Our Wonderful God, and we are being reminded by the psalmist and our pastor, Chris Gordon, that no matter what comes our way, no matter what kind of trial, what kind of struggle, what kind of hardship we face, we can always have a great confidence in God. Despite our circumstances, God's love and faithfulness to us is as sure as eternity itself. What a comfort this is. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon for a final look at Psalm 139, shall we? Here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Psalm 139, David is thinking with redeemed eyes of life, life itself as a gift from God, all of it, and all of it's determined, the days, where we go. Remember, Paul would say this when he preached in Acts, that even the boundaries of where you're going to live is marked out by God. He has chosen that. He's chosen the days to a T to when you live. I know I talk too much about my situation, but I think about this. This is the greatest comfort for me with my father. As I see him suffer right now, it comforts me to think God already has this perfectly determined and that he has marked out his days and that there's a purpose. He is caught up in this. David is caught up in this. What has overwhelmed him is how powerful God really is, that as a master craftsman, forming us in the womb, making us, he says, skillfully wrought, skillfully formed by the hand of God. Creative power. You look at a newborn baby that comes out. I remember when that first happened, I was dazed and confused by the whole thing. Trust me. There's that baby you put in the palm of your hand. David knew nothing of embryos and cells. Every little baby is made of microscopic cells so small that if you were to write the letter G, as one pastor noted, the size of the letter would contain 30 to 40,000 of these cells. Every cell has 200 trillion little tiny molecules. It's like a little micro universe. The body has 35 trillion, they argued, maybe more of these. Every minute, 3 billion cells die in your body and are replaced. He's sustaining your life constantly. Every minute. Did you hear that? 3 billion die and are replaced. Everything firing together, everything working the way that it should so that you're here tonight and can hear and see. His power. I suppose you just have to say, what a tragedy that we kill babies, isn't it? Worst thing I have to say right now. Look at the human race, what we do. Everything the scripture tells us is that God is forming in the womb. Conception. Life begins. David is in awe. Think of his creative power holding together all this. I've read this before. But as another noted, on a clear night you can see 10,000 points of light. Few of these are planets of our solar system that shine by reflected light. Thousands belong to the special grouping of stars known as the Milky Way, to which our sun belongs. Other thousands are entire galaxies which shine at one point because they're so distant. We say 10,000 points because that's what we can see with our unaided eyes, but these 10,000 are only the tiniest fraction of existing stars. A typical galaxy contains billions of individual stars. Our galaxy alone contains 200 billion stars, but that's only ours. There are thousands of others visible to the naked eye, and billions more that you can go up on Palomar Mountain and look at with that telescope. The distance from one edge on average galaxy to the other edge is approximately 600,000 trillion miles. The average distance from one galaxy to another is 20 trillion miles. This is where David is. You know, sometimes in our computer world, in our screen world, we don't even look up past the roof, right? God did this. And And he concludes, and he's thinking here, that this God, whose wonderful attributes has been put on display, considers me for my individuality in the womb. God knew and ordained my life. God gave me life. And God mapped out the course of life. Your eyes, verse 16, saw my substance, unformed substance. In your book were written of me, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. God just doesn't create and depart. He's always there, unchanging, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, from the womb. Everything marked out to the very course where the psalmist says, verse 18, when I awake, I'm still with you. You can take that as sleep if you want. Puritans used to say that every night we go to sleep, it's a kind of death, and we wake up in the morning to a new life. But I take it as real death. That it is like that. That it's real death, but it is like awakening in the Lord's presence. You're here, and then you're there. Because you're still with him. This has left the psalmist in powerful praise, awe of God, thought so precious. They are just so precious to me, O Lord. Great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more than the sand. You see, what's happened kind of makes all of our little worries here pretty small, doesn't it? It makes us pretty small. Now at this point, then, we come to the intent, one of the intents of the psalm. What does that knowledge do for somebody? What should it do? Well, it makes somebody, I would hope, immensely thankful, right? Hope they're thankful for that. But how would that show? It motivates the practical purpose of their psalm. This is a very practical psalm. The knowledge of an understanding of God's powerful protection in life, his intimate care, his involvement with us, his care, and the gift that he would give us, that he would give his son to die for us. It doesn't leave us non-responsive. It doesn't leave us apathetic. It drives us to what? You ask, well, how would I appreciate this? How would it show? What would be the greatest way I could show that I'm really thankful that God has brought me to this kind of understanding of salvation and his love and his preserving care? Many people ask God for many things, don't they? Many people ask God for many things. If God came to you and said, what do you want? Ask of me anything you want. He did to Solomon. Ask, what shall I give you? Lord, you have made me your servant king instead of my father, but I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of people whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered and counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. I'm a king, that I may discern good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This speech pleased the Lord. But Solomon asked such a thing. And God said, because you've asked this and have not asked for long life for yourself, and that you've not asked for riches to make your name great, that you've not asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I've done according to your words. I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall there arise anyone like you after. If God were to ask you tonight, in light of his omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence that he's put on display that you know in your life, what would you ask him? What does a thankful heart who has a knowledge of this ask God for? He's inviting you. That's what the psalm is inviting you to do. Think about it. What does someone who's really known the love of Jesus ask for? What does he ask God for? Well, the answer gets down to what pleases God, doesn't it? Would it please him to say, I love your omniscience in my life, but just don't tell me that you see anything in my life is wrong? Of course not. Don't tell me about it. There are two things the psalm asks for, then, in light of all this. Here they come. It's the most uncomfortable part of the psalm. It's the part of the psalm that makes everyone really stop and reflect, and that is the purpose of it. almost out of nowhere. It's meant to jolt you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Didn't that just seem to wreck the whole beauty of this? We struggle with that. Why? Well, the answer's quite simple. We don't see sin as God does. It's interesting that if you're looking at the life of David, one of his commanders was Joab. He was a ruthless man. He was a killer. For years, he was David's right-hand commander, but after he unjustly killed Abner, David hands him over to Solomon to be executed. There's an aspect to this that belongs to his kingly office in the theocracy, there's no doubt. There's an aspect, and we have to keep that. But I want you to see this in light of the flow of the psalm and see how this does apply to us. It's immensely practical for us. How so? What is the last sin you would raise if you were pointing out the sin of others? Well, I'll tell you the sins you would raise. You would raise abortion. You would raise homosexuality. You might raise all manner of what we think are the great big bad sins. Did you hear David? They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Huh. Of all choices, huh? We would call this, I suppose, an imprecation, calling down wrath on enemies. But I think you have to get to the heart of what he's saying here. At the fore, David is asking this. Let me, Lord, take sin seriously. And let me hate it. And let me have nothing to do with anyone who loves it. Stay me, keep me away from evil and evil persons. The one thing we do in our relationships with people who have stood against the Lord and influence us is act like it's no big deal. It's not that David didn't associate with evil people, but that he didn't want to dwell with those who openly hated his God and chose a life of complete hatred of him and darkness. David's not denying his own sin. David was a murderer. He's asking God. Now think of the heart of this. And then you see, apart from the kingly aspect of his office, he is asking the Lord to separate him. To separate him with this wonderful knowledge of who God is, as wonderful as God is, it has moved him to want to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And to let no one pull him away from the Lord. But take it seriously. That I think is important to look at in the midst of this because if there's anything that we don't take real seriously in life, it is the danger of sin. It is the danger of sin in our own hearts and the danger of sin in others who influence us. And David's asking to hate it. And the second request is moving, isn't it? He ends the psalm this way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. And see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I am asking you that since you are omniscient, that since you know everything, that since you are omnipresent, that since you are always with me, that since you are omnipotent in all power, I am asking that you would examine and investigate my heart since you know everything, since you see everything, and that you would do something for me. I'm asking that you would deal with, in my life, what needs to be dealt with. And that you would look and see what offensive way in me that I don't see that you see. And that you would lead me in the way everlasting. That you'd put me on the right path. That you'd turn me to your Son. That you'd guide me in the way that I should go. Don't let me harden my heart. Because I'm good at it. You see it? Don't let me do that. Now, if I said to you tonight, how often do you pray these things? My guess is not as much as we should. But these are the things, and this is where it has led him to hate sin and to have God lead him on the paths of righteousness. The worst thing about us, that we don't even know ourselves. We don't even see our sins. We go through this life and we have little idea of them and what we have the propensity to do. And before we have any ability to really know who we are, reconciliation in Christ must happen so that a knowledge of Him directs us to have Him and want us to search us and try us and test us and remove the things that are leading us astray. That is the purpose. We read the law of God every Sunday. You understand that? That's why we're doing that in church. That's why it should be read in church. Calvin said, until we establish complete happiness in Him, we will never give ourselves truly and sincerely to Him. Then, Lord, we need your help. You see? Calvin says, all people have a general veneration for God. Oh, I believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. People will say that all the time. But Calvin says, very few reverence Him. I think that's what we're getting at here. The psalmist is asking, I need to be led by you. I need you to try and test me. I need you to help me to be honest with myself. Because I go astray. I constantly forget and I turn. And you have proven again and again in your omniscience that you love me and you keep me. And you've shown that your whole life. You haven't turned against me. So I'm asking that in this way you would continue to demonstrate that and help me. Purge everything that I need to see. Dealing with the anxieties of my heart. Interesting how anxiety comes into this. That demonstrates a lack of trust in you. You know, idolatry in our lives is when we is most expressed when we are feeling all the stress of this life and we're running to it to release. What is it you're running to? It's an idol. Lord, expose that. Address that. And lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. The psalm begins with a God-breathed confidence that God knows everything, and it ends with this request that God would use that perfect knowledge. That, you see this? It ends with this request. At the beginning of the psalm, Lord, you've searched me and known me. And now it ends with, take that knowledge and use it to direct my ways, my thoughts, and my actions that I would be led in the way. And of course, you know Jesus is the way. One pastor said this, happy is the Christian who prays this every day. Who puts himself in the presence of the all-seeing God, who stands in His light. Remember, one thing people who are running in life don't want to do is stand in His light. Who stand in His light and are willing to have anything and everything which is not right brought to the light and judged. That is the true walk in the light. Even the thoughts must be so dealt with. Every thought being brought to the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Then there's a willingness to put away anything which is so grievous to God and to His Spirit, and to be led in the way everlasting. That's what the redeemed want to do. Because they've been forgiven. Because they're saved. Because this wonderful knowledge has been shown to them. This wonderful care of this wonderful God. You see that? It didn't begin with saying, God's against you. It didn't begin with saying He has taken His knowledge and shown all His wrath against you. The psalm began by rehearsing these glorious attributes to say, have you considered what God has been like to you? Have you considered what He's done for you? It's overwhelming. That's how great His love is for us. Then this is what He desires. That you would walk in the way. And that you would take sin seriously. And that you'd come to Him for help. And that He would be your strength the whole way and using that wonderful knowledge to guide you. Isn't that beautiful? May we be thankful tonight that God is not like the God of the pagans who cannot speak or is a piece of wood, but a God who is personal, who desires that we know Him this way. And through the wonderful knowledge that he's filled us with of his Son, may that kind of knowledge that God gave his only begotten Son for us be believed as we ask him today in full sincerity now as saved people, do surgery in the heart. Do what's necessary and lead us in the way everlasting. That's a happy life. That's a joyful life. That's the life he has for us. And I hope that Psalm 139 has encouraged you as you go out into another week. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, your attributes and what you've said of yourself to us are wonderful. You have shown us today your omniscience. You know everything about us, and you did not use it as a weapon against us. But you used it to tell us that you love us and protect us and guide us in perfect knowledge. And then you told us that whatever we face in life, wherever we go, you're with us. Even in death, you're not going to forsake us. For it was Jesus who said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And then in all the power that you've put on display, you've mapped out the whole course and upheld our lives to this day. And if we know you this way, then it has moved us to ask what the psalmist asked tonight. Though we want to see all of our enemies saved, though we are called to love our enemies and are not in the same kind of position as David, it is clear what this psalm is telling us, to hate evil and to take it seriously. Help us to do so. Help us to not be party to it or accept it and dwell with those who hate you. But remember, we are a separate people to you. And Lord, would you take your perfect, wonderful knowledge and would you try us and test us? Would you know our thoughts? Would you search us? And since you see everything, if there is any grievous way in us that we're pursuing that is contrary to what you want for us, and we can easily do it, would you lead us in the way everlasting? Would you show us your grace and help? Would you give us mercy? This is what we desire. This is what you've taught us to ask. Hear our prayer, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do thank you for joining us today. As always, it's a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments about the broadcast, we would love to hear from you. As always, we spend time here on Abounding Grace Radio encouraging you in Christ, challenging you in your walk in relationship with Him, which means questions will abound. You can reach out to us at 888-504-8805. That's 888 504-8805, or address your questions to questions@agradio.org. If you would like to use your voice memo app, record your question for us and then email it again to questions@agradio.org. Now, a great place for resources can be found on our website, agradio.org. If you'll visit that website, you'll also find links to our other platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris, especially as it relates to current cultural conditions that we find ourselves in the middle of. We also have videos available that Pastor Chris does with other pastors, and we also have an archive of past radio programs that have aired on this radio station, all at agradio.org. Finally, the URC Church here in Escondido, where Pastor Chris Gordon serves, will be the host for a regional Ligonier conference called If the Foundations Are Destroyed. That'll take place May 13th through the 14th. You know, sometimes it can seem that Christians are standing on unsteady ground while the world seeks to dismantle those foundations of our faith. Compromise threatens the church from within. In times of turmoil, Scripture reminds us where our true security lies, in our sovereign God, whose throne can never be moved. So that's what this conference is all about. Our keynote speakers include W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and our own Pastor Chris Gordon. Again, that is May 13th through the 14th. Simply go to ligonier.org and click the menu tab. Scroll down to events and you'll be able to learn more and register for the conference. Again, thank you for taking some of your valuable time and directing it our way. It's greatly appreciated, and we trust you've been encouraged in Christ. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.